Good morning. My name is Daniel Enger. I'm 55 years old. Today is February 9th, 2018, and we're at the offices of Ohio Means Jobs of Athens County. And I'm here with my new friend, Christopher.
Hi, I'm Christopher Bennett, and I'm 26 years old. I'm here to tell a story of my life. And when I was started at 9 years old, I lived in this little town. It was out towards Albany. Knollwood Trailer Park. I was 9 years old. I used to hang around some bad people out there, and it led to an addiction in my life at about 15 years old. In between that time, I enjoy being with my family, but I thought of other things being important to my life other than family. Then I moved from there, Knollwood. I moved to Athens on Hooper Street. Lived there for about 10 years, about 15 years old. And I moved from Hooper Street to a town called Nelsonville. I've been there most of my life. Started hanging around with people, getting on drugs. Wasn't really much into the family anymore. Thought of me, my needs. Wasn't too curious about anybody else. Thought about, always getting in trouble, doing things I ain't supposed to do. The age of 18, graduated high school. I continued, I was working, went to college, started going downhill afterwards. Got hooked on heroin, was introduced to that by a friend that was in school with me. Worst thing ever could happen in my life from that day on. All I thought of after that was getting high. Wasn't worried about the family, just my needs, like I said, now I hit, I still living with my mom and dad, going to school, dropped out a year later, 1 year shy of becoming a heavy equipment operator. Now that I'm, went and got a job at the Athens Messenger delivering papers. Did that for about 2 months. Got in some trouble at the age of 22. Was stealing from my neighbor, taking things and just selling it junk, trying to get high, trying to get my next buzz. From that moment on, I started dealing with the POs, got incarcerated, was in jail for multiple times. It's just too many times of being put there, I can't remember, but definitely multiple. Got out, got with this girl, started writing bad checks, getting myself in more trouble. I was in recovery, trying to work on myself. Was heading towards HRS one day, and it all started there. I got pulled over by a state highway patrol. He told me, he said, "Mr. Bennett, you got warrants for your arrest out of Hawking County." And I asked him what for, and he couldn't tell me. So I went to jail again. The only thing that's on my mind this whole time is where I'm gonna get my next buzz at. Went to court, found out it was about all them bad checks I wrote. From that day on, they was trying to put me on diversion. I didn't complete diversion in Athens. So they couldn't do that. So they had to run my parole concurrent with another county. Still doing 5 years paper. I got out on an OR bond. Still didn't care, doing the same thing I was doing when I went in, getting high, eventually I finally said, "I'm tired of it." And I went and went on the run, quit going to see my PO, and just doing what I wanted to do. I was my own boss. 6 months after I was on the run with the girl I was with, I got caught at the library. Somebody obviously knew that I was on the run and turned me in. Tried to take off from the law there, didn't happen. Didn't work out the way it should have worked. But I was glad that I just gave up. Kind of glad that I did get caught, because I wouldn't be the person who I am today. I did go to court. I had 4 years, 11 months, judicial out in 6. Then I had to go to a program. 6 months of that time in prison, I was still in my mind that, you know, I was going to get out and do the same thing that I was doing before I went in. I was still getting high in the prison systems. 2 weeks before my judicial, I finally, you know, thought in my head that, you know, it's time to stop. If I'm getting high in here, what's it going to do me any good to get out and be out in society and still do the same thing? I'm not going to change. From that moment on that day, I'd never touched a drug since then. I got out May 22nd. And then I went to the program down in Portsmouth. Did 4 months there. I learned a lot from their, you know, teachers down there. Took a lot of their programming seriously. I've been 15 months clean. Still doing strong. It was the worst place to ever have to land is in prison. It took me the hard way to learn my lesson, but I learned it. I always thought in there, man, what if I lose my mom? What if I lose my dad? I can't be there, you know. You know, I'm sitting here, can't take care of my family when they need me, doing things that I, you know, in there and should be out here doing things for my family sober. So ever since that day of getting out, I have done nothing but thought of my family, sober, clean. And any time that I get an urge to feel like I'm going to do something stupid, I always think back in my head, you're still on paper. You still have 4.5 years over your head. You mess up, you're going back to do the rest of your time. No more time with your family. No more time with your friends, your positive friends, you know. And that's not the life I want to live. And I just hope that I can help others from preventing them to go down that road and being away from their family and, you know, get their heads on their shoulder right, you know, and maybe them help the next person down that road.
Christopher, you're a strong, wise man with a great story to tell, a great story to learn from. I know that through the experiences that you've had, you've acquired a lot of wisdom. And you see the programs that work, you see the things that are being done. I know here at the offices of Ohio Means Jobs, yep, with Sean Stover and them, they do great work.
Definitely.
But in addition to the great work that's being done here, I'd please like to ask you, imagine that tomorrow you have $1 million and you can spend it to improve the lives of people in Athens County, perhaps people who have experienced the same kinds of things that you have, Christopher. What would you do with $1 million?
What I would do with $1 million, I would start up my own programming, recovery. Actually, a recovery service. You know, try to get more people on the Vivitrol. That's a pretty big thing here in Athens. I would try to start up a program like that. Start up like in more NAAA groups. You know, for people that like to go to them, and you know, that are in recovery, that do enjoy going to stuff like that. That's what I would use my $1 million for, to help others out, you know, to save their lives, you know, for their families.
That's a great idea, Christopher. I think you'd be really good at it, too. Let me ask you another question. Use your imagination yet again, please. You know Federal Hawking School, Allen
yes.
Stewart. Great teachers, great superintendent in George Wood, really great kids. It's a wonderful environment. But it is in a place and in a time when especially the opioid epidemic is hitting really hard in communities all across Athens County.
Definitely.
And I know the kids, their parents, teachers, the staff there, everyone is concerned about the threat of that epidemic. But as I said, you're a man with a strong story to tell. You yes. clearly tell it really well. You have experience to share. Imagine, please, they have a basketball pep rally at Federal Hawking School. And all the kids are sitting on one side of the bleachers. They've introduced the basketball team. The cheerleaders have done their thing. There's a microphone in the middle. And the principal, Cliff, looks off to the side. He sees you and he says, "Hey, students, we have a great day today. We have a special guest. His name is Christopher Bennett, and he'd like to share some words of wisdom with you." What would you tell them?
I would start with my addiction story. I would tell them, you know, I would, you know, share my story with them, with, you know, strong courage, encouragement, you know, to help them out so that they don't go down that road that I have been down and lose everything that I've had, you know, and end up in prison. I would always prevent something like that, no matter what it took. I'm that person from to prevent it. I mean, at least try. I may not be able to stop it, but if I can help somebody or I can help the next young fella in front of me, I'm going to help, you know, and that would be to give my story to them young kids, and hopefully they take that story in consideration and take it and give it to the next person in front of them.
Christopher, I sit here looking at you. I'm looking at a man who has vibrant eyes, clearly has a great sense of energy and optimism and doing great things in life right now. Yes. Could you tell me, please, about the things that you're working on, the things that you've achieved in your recovery and since you've been released from prison? It's clearly really good stuff.
Yeah. I have achieved a lot of things. You know, since I've been out of prison, I've, you know, have gained a job. It took time, but I worked hard to get this job that I have today. It's not the best job, but on my positive note, I look at it as it's a job. I had never had a job in my life. I had one or two jobs, but I mean, working under a table, I wouldn't say that because I was always worried about getting high. And things like that really help somebody that's in recovery because they know that there's something positively happening to them. And since I have had that job, I'm working on achieving to get my license as of right now. I have bought myself a car, paid on my fines, things that I would never thought I would ever get or do, I have done. Took my family on vacation, something that I never expressed in my mind or ever dreamed it would happen because I was so far gone. But recovery has brought me so far. Like, I am very proud of who I am today and what I do for my community, my family, my friends, and things that I would continue to do for others that had been in my shoes or been down that road, or I can prevent going down that road. I have achieved so much since I have been out of prison. I'm just very thankful, you know, for the person that I am. I plan on, as of right now, I'm working on getting my own place. It is taking time, but it will happen. Just got to be patient. Things will start, you know, starts looking up for me eventually. You know, I get to do the hobbies I love to do. Been to a football game this year, multiple of them actually. Been able to, you know, I feel cheated because I feel like I can go out and talk to a cop and not have to worry about nothing over the back, looking over my back and saying, "Oh man, there's a cop. I gotta, you know, can't be around here." I just, you know, I'm just so thankful and proud that I can be that person and do what I do, you know, and not have nothing to worry about and work hard for everything I have, because when I was on drugs, job was nowhere near my mind. The only thing I thought about was stealing and taking from others and taking from family. But now I'm recovered. I work every day. I give to the ones that I have took from. I have definitely took a lot from my family, but you know, I'm turning that around to give back to them, to make a, you know, to be a better person and do what's right for me and them. As of right now, I'm currently in the process of working, you know, trying to start my own racing up. I plan on trying to race dirt cars before 2020. If things continue to go the way that they're going now, hopefully I'll be out there racing dirt track within the next couple years. I definitely am very proud of myself on the things that I have achieved and the things that I'm hopefully getting ready to do, and maybe, you know, continue with life and stay positive and, you know, help others out and stay in recovery, because recovery's, you know, the rest, you're in recovery for the rest of your life. You know, you don't ever want to take that chance of thinking, I ain't gonna get high. There's always that one time you can run into an old buddy, you know, even without the Vivitrol, you know, have a blank mind and see him, you know, you're getting high. But I don't, you know, I try to avoid that situation. But there's always that chance of relapse. It don't matter where you're at.
Christopher, I can tell you're a great success. Yes. You're a great success in so many ways, in your addressing your reentry, in addressing recovery. We have a lot to learn from you, but also I know that you see what's going on around you, and I would imagine that you've heard of or have seen people, please don't mention their names, but people that haven't succeeded in their addiction recovery.
Definitely.
Or people who haven't succeeded in reentry and have found themselves back in prison. Again, without naming any names, but could you give us a sense of why is it that people fail in their addiction recovery? Why is it that people fail in their reentry?
Well, a lot of times, you know, I am a success and I love to see others succeed too, but a lot of times when you look at something like that, you got to realize, do they have that support? Do they have them people there that, you know, feed them that positivity all the time when they're feeling down? They always, you know, keep them up. And then you just got your people that just, you know, don't really care. They just, they would rather live that prison life. They're, you know, that's home to them. You know, it doesn't matter what they do or what happens. They look at that as home because that's where they've done most of their time. And that's the only place they have to look forward to, you know. And, you know, another thing is you got to look at it, you know, you got to, you know, take things serious. You can't fake it to make it. Either you're in recovery or you're not. You know, and if you're sitting there faking it, a lot of times you're going to go back to prison, you know. And I see it happen every day. No, I don't like to see it happen, but when I do see it happen, I feed positively in something that I can know that I can make something good of for somebody else. And a lot of times it works, but like I said, if they're used to that prison life, they don't really care. So, you know, I do what I can to help him out or her out, you know. But if they don't want to take that consideration, there's nothing really I can do. But a lot of times when you see somebody failing, it's not usually because they want to go back to prison. It's more like that they don't have that support at home, or, you know, that support out there from new friends, or they're always, you know, going back to that same place that they were living at, you know, getting high and stuff at. They don't try to go get another place, like something new. They always just try to go back to the old places of where they're at and stuff. So, and a lot of things like that don't help, because you're just going right back into a negative environment, which, you know, coming out with being in remission for recovery, you shouldn't go back to a place that you just come from getting high and, you know, your drug dealer's still down the street. You always kind of want to move away from the area to better yourself, you know, so you don't have to think, okay, if you get that thought of getting high, you know, I can just go right down the street here. My drug dealer's right down the street, and just walked right down there one time. That's all it takes. And it's just right back into that situation they were in before. So, you know, that's why a lot of times I see a lot of failures, because, you know, a lot of them don't think of, you know, of going back to that old area. They think they'll be okay. Me, I couldn't. I told my mom. I said, you know, this is not the life I can live anymore. I'm a better person. We have to move from where I'm at, or I will be back in prison. I said, no matter what, it's hard on an addict. Every day I struggle to, you know, stay clean. I know what I'm supposed to do, but it's a struggle. No matter, I don't care if you've been 20 years clean, it is a struggle every day for an addict. And, you know, I told her, look, we've got to move from where we're at, or I will be back in the same place, doing the same things all over again. She understood where I was coming from. We actually moved probably 20, 30 minutes from the old area I was at. You know, I don't picture it. I always have something positive. I have a very supportive family. I go to groups. I go to HRS, I have a counselor, anything that I need to speak to her about, she's there, she talks to me. Very supportive staff there. You know, I have very positive friends now, which helps me with my recovery. When they feel that I'm down, you know, they're asking, what's wrong? You know, they're always there, like my family. I couldn't ask for a better support system. I definitely have it better than most people, honestly. I really wish I could see everybody have the support system I have. Because I feel if everybody had the support system I have, a lot of people would succeed and would do good in their life, you know, and be there for their family. But if you ain't got that support, you're always going to be a failure. And if you keep going back to that same living life, living in that same area and living that life, you're not going to succeed nowhere. You're just going to keep putting yourself in that same environment and go back downhill.
But Christopher, it's beautiful to hear the way you talk about your family and your supportive family, your supportive friends, the folks that you have here at Ohio Means Jobs, at HRS. Your mom did move.
Very much so.
But what about, please help me to understand something. Imagine somebody does have an addiction, is in prison, but that imagine somebody who gets released without a supportive family, without any money in a bank account, and really has nowhere to go except that old place. Please help me to understand how that person's situation could work.
Well, with that situation there, anything's possible, okay? If you're really wanting to stay clean and you're really committed to your recovery after getting out of prison, there's several different sources out there to help. You got Integrative Services, you got Red Cross, you got Salvation Army. You know, you got different, you know, homeless shelters that help. So if you're really committed to what you're going to do and what you want to do with your life, there is help out there. And I feel if you don't go get that help, that's your own fault. That's because you're lazy and you didn't really commit. You didn't really commit to your recovery. Like there's a reentry program. And always come here and get help. Job and Family Service, they help. You know? So if you don't commit yourself and do and come to these places, you know, and get help, you're not trying. You're really a failure. You just want to go back to that old life. And, you know, if going back to, you know, from preventing yourself to go back to that old area, like I said, if you're committed to your recovery, there's homeless shelters. And if that recovery means more to you than going back to your old area, you would go get a homeless, go to a homeless shelter and get help. That's the points that I look at it in my life, you know, if you don't have that support. And there is plenty of places out there. I mean, HRS, very supportive system. You know, the NAAA groups, very supportive. You know, if you cannot go to groups, and there ain't no reason why people say they can't get transportation. There's definitely a lot of transportation around here, you know, especially for a person after getting out of prison. Believe it or not, I feel like there's more help for a prisoner that's getting out of prison than there is a person that's just out here living life and doing what's right. I really do. And if you can't go get that help you need, then you're not really trying to get your recovery on.
Christopher, tell me your secret, please. From the time I met you an hour ago and we were talking before this interview began, and then throughout the interview, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is a very strong man with tremendous inner resources. Where does that strength come from? What's your secret?
My strength comes from, you know, just different things like of myself, the thoughts, you know, of what I can succeed with. I look at it as that because if I look at things on a positive note, think positive, that's what continues to make me the person to who I am and makes me stronger than ever. You know, if, like, you know, me succeeding with the stuff that I've achieved is really what made me the person inside. You know, seeing me being able to help others has really made me strong. Doing things for others, things like that's what's made me the person who I am today. I like, you know, this program I was in, it's a rehabilitation program down there in Portsmouth. I've talked about that in my story here. That was one of the places that really put the strength to me and made me the person who I am so I could turn away from drugs and so that I could help people. You know, we went, when I was there, we had classes day in and day out. 8 hours a day, classes. All we did was talk about recovery, every class. You know, and talking about recovery and being serious about it really makes you a strong, strong person. And, you know, with me doing that and the things that I do out here is the person, is that's why I am the person who I am today. And it, you know, it really energizes me when I see somebody else that I helped succeed. That's what really, you know, builds me up inside. I'm not, you know, it makes me feel that like I'm not a failure, that I can help others. And that's why I am who I am today.
Christopher Bennett, I'm proud to know you. And I'm really, really grateful to have had this chance to sit down with you today and to get to know you. Thank
Very
you for
welcome.
Sharing your story. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for the example you set for us in our community. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And, you know, one last thing. I just hope this story helps others out there who are trying to get help or wanting to get help. I hope this story has hope that helps them succeed in life and be the person who I am today and carry the strength that I carry every day. And, I really don't have much else to say, and I want to thank you all for letting me share my story with you. Thank you very much.